but the death shriek of Cassandra, Priam's daughter, most pitiful thing I heard. My treacherous queen Clytemnestra killed her over my body. Yes, and I, lifting my fists, beat them down on the ground, dying, dying, writhing around the sword. But she, that whore, she turned her back on me. Well on my way to death, she even lacked the heart to seal my eyes with her hand or close my jaws. So there's nothing more deadly, bestial, than a woman set on works like these. What a monstrous thing she plotted, slaughtered her own lawful husband. Why, I expected at least some welcome home from all my children or my household slaves when I came sailing back again. But she, the queen, hell-bent on outrage, bathes in shame not only herself but the whole breed of womankind, even the honest ones to come, forever down the years. So he declared, and I cried out, "How terrible! Zeus, from the very start, the Thunder King has hated the race of Atreus with a vengeance, his trustiest weapon, women's twisted wiles. What armies of us died for the sake of Helen? Clytemnestra schemed your death while you were worlds away." "True, true," Agamemnon's ghost kept pressing on, "so even your own wife, never indulge her too far, never reveal the whole truth, whatever you may know, just tell her a part of it, be sure to hide the rest. Not that you, Odysseus, will be murdered by your wife. She's much too steady, her feelings run too deep. Icarius's daughter, Penelope, that wise woman. She was a young bride, I well remember. We left her behind when we went off to war, with an infant boy she nestled at her breast. That boy must sit and be counted with the men now. Happy man. His beloved father will come sailing home and see his son, and he will embrace his father. That is only right. But my wife, she never even let me feast my eyes on my own son. She killed me first, his father. I tell you this, bear it in mind, you must. When you reach your homeland, steer your ship into port in secret, never out in the open. The time for trusting women's gone forever. Enough. Come, tell me this, and be precise. Have you heard news of my son, where he's living now? Perhaps in Orchomenus. Perhaps in sandy Pylos, or off in the Spartan plains with Menelaus. He's not dead yet, my Prince Orestes. No, he's somewhere on the earth." So he probed, but I cut it short. "Atrides, why ask me that? I know nothing whether he's dead or alive. It's wrong to lead you on with idle words." So we stood there, trading heartsick stories, deep in grief as the tears streamed down our faces. But now there came the ghosts of Peleus's son, Achilles, Patroclus, fearless Antilochus, and great Ajax, too, the first in stature, first in build and bearing of all the Argives, after Peleus's matchless son. The ghost of the splendid runner knew me at once, and hailed me with a flight of mournful questions. "Royal son of Laertes, Odysseus, man of tactics, reckless friend, what next? What greater feat can that cunning head contrive? What daring brought you down to the house of death, where the senseless, burnt-out wraiths of mortals make their home?" The voice of his spirit paused, and I was quick to answer. "Achilles, son of Peleus, greatest of the Achaeans, I had to consult Tiresias, driven here by hopes he would help me journey home to rocky Ithaca. Never yet have I neared Achaea, never once set foot on native ground. My life is endless trouble. But you, Achilles, there's not a man in the world more blessed than you. There never has been, never will be one. Time was when you were alive, we Argives honored you as a god. Now down here I see you lorded over the dead in all your power, so grieve no more at dying.